So we left off yesterday, trying to understand a very, very difficult statement in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch told us that if you have a tarovis of a gid, but the gid is no longer really intact, means it's nimoach, it's already all liquefied, it's already mushed up in such a way that it's not nikur anymore. So obviously you don't have a concern of a beria, but says the Shulchan Aruch, you still have a concern of shishim. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch told us, just take a look for a moment back to the 10th of the Ramah Kamos, if the gid has been completely dissolved and it's not recognizable, so you still require shishim corresponding to that gid. So the reason why this was so problematic, as the Shach pointed out, is that we know the halacha is that shishim is only necessary when there's still concern of a tam. But if we have some other way of discerning that there's no tam, then why do you need shishim for? Shishim is only there as a test. Yes, tam and no tam. But if I know for a fact that there's no tam, so it doesn't make any sense to require shishim. And proof positive, says the Shach, if a non-Jew tastes the food and tells you there's no taste, he just doesn't taste anything, so then there's no need for shishim. So here, in the case we get a nosha, it's almost like the food was tasted and there's no tam. Nobody really tasted it, but Chazal already, quote-unquote, tasted. Chazal already testified to us that ain begin but no sin tam. So since we know for a fact that there is no tami of any significance, why don't we just say it's about the barov and finish? So where did shishim come into this mix? Why don't we just have a right to say it's about the barov, there's no tam, and call it a day? So what's going on with that law in the Shulchan Aruch, Tzach Shishim Kenegdo? So the Sefer Badi HaShulchan, he suggests that this issue really goes back to a fundamental question, something that we've touched on a little bit here and there, and we're going to hopefully keep on coming back to this. A fundamental question: what is really going on with this magic number shishim? What is the role in halach of shishim? So remember, we quoted the Gemara tells us that the hilchasa, you need shishim, you always require shishim. And you require shishim, whether it's a min b'she'eino mino, means you have two foods that don't taste the same, or whether it's even min b'mino, if you have two foods that do taste the same. So it doesn't make much of a difference for us whether the tray for chicken soup fell into a pot of potato soup, or whether it fell into a pot of kosher chicken soup, but the min b'mina, min b'she'eno mina, at the end of the day, v'chus b'shishim, you always require shishim. And the question is why? Why is shishim there? What is the goal? What is the role of shishim? So conventional wisdom teaches us, which is really the Shitas HaRosh, and the view of many, many Rishonim, is that there really almost a two-step process as to the requirement of shishim. Why a tarovus of min b'she'eno mina? It's fairly obvious, as the Rosh, why it requires shishim, because we have an issue of tam kikar. Now again, whether that's a din derais or din derabbanan, that's part of the last sugya. But there is an issue of tam kikar. The Mishnah says, if you can taste treifos, that's a big problem. Either derais a problem, maybe a malchus problem, maybe a nisaresi problem, maybe a kabachayr problem, maybe a derabbanan problem. Again, depending on all the facts that we spoke about in the previous sugya, you definitely have a problem. That's a Mishnah. Tam is a problem. Therefore, says the Rosh, you have to make sure there's no tam. So how do you do that? Well, if you don't have a goy, then the only way to do that is shishim. So the role of bittul shishim is really, in a certain sense, not even halachic. It's really almost like just a scientific way of evaluating. It's a math. It's a kind of an equation that Chazal created, or Chazal, the Torah, whatever the magic number of shishim came from. It's a way of simply measuring that there is no tam. That's all there is. Nothing more, nothing less. Of course, the problem is, so then why do you need it by min b'mino? Why do we pass it in halacha that even min b'mina requires shishim? There's obviously no tam there. So the Rosh says, no, that's easy. That's not required min haTorah. That's a gezeira d'rabbanan. We're afraid that if we let people get away without requiring shishim by chicken soup and chicken soup, which is really what the din should be min haTorah, next time the chicken soup falls into the potato soup, people are going to say, oh, last week I went to the rabbi and he didn't need shishim. What's the difference? What's the difference? It's a huge difference. In one case, there's tam, one case, there's no tam, but people aren't going to understand that nuance of difference. And therefore, mid the Rabbanan, Chazal instituted that you require shishim even for min b'mino. So according to the Rosh, there are really two different steps in this process. Mid the Raisa, you require shishim for min b'she'eno mino, just to offset the tam. And mid the Rabbanan, you require shishim even min b'mino, as a gezeira otu min b'she'eno, otu min b'she'eno mino. So according to the Rosh, all of shishim is really tam-oriented. Sometimes it's there literally to get rid of tam. Sometimes it's there as a gezeira to get rid of tam. But at the end of the day, shishim is a measuring rod. Shishim is a barometer that you do not have tam. However, if you take a look at the Rambam, in the 12th of the Rambam Komos, you get almost an entirely different picture from the Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Machos Asuras, Tezvav Dalet, the 12th of the Rambam Komos, Nofel Chelev Klois, the Chelev Aliyah V'Rimach HaKol. If you have a mixture of Chelev that comes from the kidneys, which is Chelev that's Aser, into the Chelev Aliyah, which technically is another part of the Chelev, which is technically permissible, and now it's all mixed together. Yimoyah Chelev Aliyah Kishnayim V'Chelev HaKlois, Harei HaKol Mutav in Torah. If you have two times of the kosher fat to the one part of a trefa fat, so with the rice, everything's okay. With the rice, you have little merov. There's nothing more that you need. Not only if the fat is mixed up and it's all dissolved together, but even if all the pieces are separate and distinct, such as one piece of nevela into two pieces of kosher meat, a colloquial case of the three salamis. One nevela salami gets mixed into two regular salamis. Hakol muta min haTorah, says the Rambam. There's no question of min haTorah. Everything's okay. Pitabaro. Aval, says the Rambam. Aval v'divrei sofer midrabbanan hakol aser. You're not allowed to eat in these cases. Why? Ad she'ave davra aser mi'otze mi'uto. Says the Rambam. What has to happen is as follows. You have to have that the amount of iser is so insignificant that we can almost ignore it. She avid davra aser. We could say that it's lost. It's God. It's history. It's no longer really here, even though we know it's physically here. But it's so insignificant to what's going on in the greater taroves. It's never the isme otze miyuto. Ram says. Therefore, we up the ante a little bit. Therefore, the shear becomes a little bit more than just rove. And what is the shear? So it depends on the isse we're talking about. Some require 100, some require 200. Dvar b'chashuvim, like various, never bought them. But the idea of bittul, says the Rambam, is to unravel the chashivas adavar, that we could say with a straight face, never is to be able to be yuto. Now, midaraisa, we can already say that by rov. Min haTorah, once you have a majority, that's it. That is already never is to be able to be yuto. But midarabanan, that doesn't look right. Chazal thought it just looks very, very funny. And therefore, people are going to lead to all kinds of zozulim and isurim. People are not going to take this seriously. They're going to start eating tray for food. All kinds of different things are going to happen. And therefore, with the Rabban and Chazal, so another book stops here. Until you have never the isa b'yal tzimiyuto, it's not going to be proper. And then, in subsequent halachas, the Rabban goes on to explain, and therefore you require shishim. Now, that's a different language of shishim. That's a different world of shishim. According to the Rosh, Shishim wasn't needed to be never an Isser b'Eitzibiyuto. Shishim wasn't there to make sure the Isser is just not important in our eyes. Shishim was there as a taste test. Shishim was there in place of a non-Jew tasting. So why is the Rambam talking a different language? The answer is the Rambam held an entirely different picture, an entirely different version of what's going on. Everybody ends up with the same magic number Shishim. The Gemara says, Vuchas b'Shishim. So the number is the same, but the Lomdus, the rationale for Shishim is radically different. Unlike according to the Rosh, the Rambam's view is that fundamentally the goal of Bittul is to undermine the significance of the item. It's not addressing the taste of the item. It's to undermine the significance of the item. That's the goal of Bittul B'Shishim. Now, truth to be told, the Rambam happens to be talking about Min B'Mino here. Those are the cases that the Rambam is talking about. But comes about the Ashulchan and suggests one to theoretically make the jump according to the Rambam and apply that idea of never to Issa B'El Tzibiyuto even to min b'she'ein amino, and say that what's really happening in every single taroves, the real matir, the engine that's driving the heter, what's giving me the green light to eat this food, is not so much yetam notam. The real goal is to be ma'abedes iser. The real goal is to reach the point that they come up with some kind of an equation, some kind of a mathematical equation to declare what you have here is just not important anymore. What you have here is just bottle. It's just bottle of vutal or shavel kaim. It's like bittul chabit. It's just not here anymore. It just doesn't interest. Doesn't concern. It's so bottle already. It just doesn't interest me anymore. That's the goal. How do you get to that goal? So now it gets tricky. So shishim is a good way to get to that goal, but there may be another way as well. Namely, what if I have a pot of potato soup and a little bit of tray for chicken soup fell in? I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be Meshav Shishim. I don't know how to count Shishim. I don't know how to do the lab tests. But I got another way to test whether it's Choshev or not. What's that way? I'll ask the Goy to taste it. Ask the Goy, how is the Goy not tasting it going to declare it's not Choshev? I understand when you do a mathematical formula in the laboratory and it's 60 to 1. I got that. That's called objectively not chashuv. So it comes about the Yeshuv with the Gevaldik Chiddush B'Des Rav. It says, if food has already lost its taste, that gufa is a declaration that it's never isabiyot to be utar. The reason why, when the goy tastes it, why it's mutter, it's not mutter because there's no taste. That's not the matir. The matter is that the goy's lack of taste of a food that should have had taste. A minute ago, this chicken soup tasted gevaldik. If I would have had this tray for chicken soup a minute ago, it would have tasted yummy, delicious. Now it gets mixed into a big pot of potato soup, and I can't find it anymore. Hooray, I can't find it. The goy's searching. He's taking this part. He doesn't understand. Garnish, Rabbi, I don't taste anything anymore. We say to Mishkayach, thank you so much. Your lack of taste is a declaration of never isabiyot to miyuto. So that's a very, very different lumdus than what's going on in the world of the rush. In the world of the rush, the goal of bittul is fundamentally one. Namely, is bittul ha-tam. Tam is ki'ika. Tam ki'ika is deraisa. We got a big problem. So midda araisa, we have to get rid of the tam. And we have to find different mechanisms to assure us without any question that we've gotten rid of the tam. How do you do that? So we got to try to figure it out. Either bittul b'shishim, or going tasting it. Any one of those above tests is going to do the trick. They extended that to mid-bimino as well as a gezeira. But according to the Rambam, that's not what's happening. Because according to the Rambam, the fact that there is tam here is not so important. If you remember back to last sugya, according to the Rambam, tam kik was not even deraisa. Tam kik, according to the Rambam, was only deraisa when you have a huge amount. When you have a kezayis mechtechlis pras, that was wild, that was crazy. That's not our case. I'm talking about I got a big pot of potato soup, a little chicken soup falls in. There's no kezayis, there's no mechtechlis pras. According to the Rambam, there's no real problem here. I mean, I tell you there's no problem here. But there's a problem with the Rabbanan. You know what the problem is? You require never a Issa B'Yuta. You got to reach the point we can say with a straight face, this Issa is Bachla B'Vutla, is insignificant. It's not really here. How do you reach that point? One of two ways. Either you reach that point through Shishim. That's the old one. That's the good way of it. That's a mathematical formula. You meet that point of through Shishim. Or I say no. If it's a kind of a food that should be tasting, it's a very, very yummy, delicious food. And guess what? Oh, his taste. The taste is gone. The guy's looking around, tasting around. He doesn't taste a thing. Oh, chicken soup that should taste and now doesn't taste. Zaman, you see from here, it's never this to be out to be. So that's almost like a roundabout, razzle-dazzle way. But the guy's tasting is not, we're not really tasting, we're not testing for taste. That's not the goal according to the Rambam. Not like the Rush says, the real issa here is the tam. Let's make sure we don't have tam. No. According to the Rambam, the real issa is, When it's there and we haven't been bevatel, we haven't declared that's insignificant. The lack of taste is just a mechanism to determine, to discern that it's never an isbiyot to be utam. It's not the taste per se that's a problem. And that comes about Yeshuchim with the Gevaldik Chiddush, with the punchline of his prayer. Comes about Yeshuchim and says, "B'med devar mamurim." When does this whole idea make sense that we could be mevatel something by its lack of taste? That makes sense with something that tastes. That makes sense with something that emits a tam, something that gives off a tam. If something under normal circumstances, standing on its own two feet, gives off a yummy tam, and now Nebuch it no longer gives off the tam because the tam has been lost in the never the Issa B'Yotzei B'Yuto, so al zeh ne'amar bittul. One of the reasons why we don't taste it is for a totally different reason. There's a completely, totally tangential reason why it doesn't taste. You know why it doesn't taste? It doesn't taste because it doesn't have a taste. Well, if it doesn't have a taste, why is it asur? Because it's a gidan nosha. Because hilch zayin begidim benoisin tam. It's that one food out there. There aren't many others. Nevela without taste. So, technically it's not nevela really gear anymore. Chelav, now the regular surim require taste to be asur. But in the realm of gidan nosha is the exception to the rule. That's exactly what the Gemara means when it says, ain begidim benoisin tam. So since Gidan Nosha doesn't have any taste anyway, so listen to this absurd experiment. A little bit of Gidan Nosha falls into my mixture, and I want to know, was it never the Isser? Was it not never the Isser? How am I going to do that? What mechanism am I going to invoke to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's never the Isser B'Yotze B'Yuto? So I open up my Yeridah and Tzadik Ches, and I remember there are two different ways to prove never the Isser. One is through Shishim, a lack thereof, and the other is through, if the goy tastes and doesn't discern anything, oh, guess what? Shkoyach never Israel to Miuta. So I have my Gira Nosha mixed into my Cholim, and I want to know, Rabbi, did I reach the point of Never Israel or not? That's all I want to know. Have I attained that goal of Never Israel to Miuta? If the answer is yes, the food's Mutta. The answer is no, then the food's also with the Rabbi. Rabbi, tell me, teach me, how do I prove that's Never Israel? So the Rabbi starts thinking, well, how do you do that? The Shishim Agoyim. So I'm going to ask a goy to come and taste the children to tell me, do you taste Gira Nosha now? If you don't taste Gira Nosha, we're good to go. That's a joke. That's a late sonus. You're going to ask the goy to taste for Gira Nosha. I just got finished telling you, ain't beginning. I said, no, he's not going to taste anything. He wouldn't have tasted it if it would have been a dish of pure Gira Nosha without any mixture whatsoever. So how in the world is the goy not tasting going to accomplish the goal of never is to be able to be Uto? So that fail. That's not going to be a way. That's not an acceptable method to prove Ein Tam. I'm sorry, to prove that Never Isser. So how else do you prove Never Isser? Guess what? Shishim is an end-all. Shishim is an objective declaration of Never Isser Be'otzimuto, which is exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. So we go back to the 10th of the Mem HaKamos. So Shulchan Aruch says, V'imimoach ha-gid de'eno nigar, tzorach gam ke'en shishim kenegdoi, that if the gid is no longer discernible, so min ha-ter it's batal b'rov. But min d'rabbanan, you need Never Isser Be'otzimuto. There's no way to do that by a lack of taste by the goy, because it never tastes in anushas. The only way to do it is shisha, which is exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. So it comes out, says the Badei Shulchan, that this din in Shulchan Aruch is really part of a Rambam's theory. This is not part of the Rosh's theory. This is part of the Rambam's theory. And what does this machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh ultimately hinge upon? That we have two radically different approaches, almost like connecting dots from multiple sugyas now. We have a radical, a major, major machlokes, the Gedolei Rishon, the Rambam, the Rosh. What is the ABCs? What is the lamdas? What is being accomplished by shishim? Everybody agrees to the magic of shishim. That's the Gemara, Hilchos of shishim. What are we trying to accomplish? According to the Rosh, we are addressing a very, very serious problem called ta'am ki'ikar. And we have to prove there's no issue of ta'am ki'ikar. That can be proven in one of two ways, either through shishim or through a goy tasting. According to the Rambam, that's not at all what's going on. According to the Rambam, Tom Kiker, I don't even know Tom Kiker. Never heard of Tom Kiker. So what are we worried about? A new problem in the Rabbanim called Neved Issa B'Yotzeviyuto. And that can be solved either again through Shishim or by Mimishay Namino through a Goy tasting.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
I'm thinking about this issue of Nis'ara HaIsur. If after you've been mevatel the isur, you add some of the same isur.
Right.
From a tam standpoint, it would seem that would waken the isur. But from a neva to isur standpoint, it would almost seem as if once it's gone, it can't be revived. Would you agree with that?
Excellent. So I would say as follows. I would say that what you said is going to depend on a machlokes, the Ravid and the Ramban and the Rosh, in one of the sugyas coming up. It's around the corner. I think it's the second or the third sugya after Yontif, the sugya of Chozu V'Neir. There are some Rishonim who say that exact svara that you're saying, that Chozu V'Neir makes more sense by Tam Kikur, makes less sense by Mimbamino, and other Rishonim will say, you're right, but maybe it's a Gezei Ratu Mimbamino. So we have a lot to work on in terms of Chozu V'Neir. So you're definitely on target that some of the things we're saying is going to set the stage for Chozu V'Neir. So when all the dust settles, we really can connect the previous sugya and this sugya. Because depending on what you think about Tam Kikur, going back to the last sugya we had, it's eight different sheets about this Tam Kikur. They're Isa, they're Abundant, when, yes, no. Depending on how serious you think Tam Kikur is going to impact on what your goal of shishim is. If you believe like the Rosh that Tam Kikur is a real din deraisa, then you need shishim and deraisa to be about all the time. And we're going to make gezeiros derabanan and beminos. The world's going to be very, very chomer. The sugis of Tam Kikur are very, very chomer according to the Rosh, because we're dealing with the real deraisa. According to the Rambam, we're almost never dealing with the real deraisa, because according to the Rambam, you only reach the level of deraisa of Tam Kikur when you reach the much, much more concentrated, higher level of kezayis nechilas pras. So both the Ram and the Rosh agree there's a concept of Tam Kikur out there, but just how practical it is in your own kitchen is a big difference. So according to the Rambam's view, the Tam Kikur is almost never there in the Torah. We're not going to make Gezeiros Derabanans, the Dinim of Shishim. None of this is really means anything in the Torah. It's all just to accomplish the Avodah Divrei Seferim, The Ram wrote in Mar Machon number 12. But according to the view of the Rosh from last sugya, that there's a real bona fide deraisa playing out here, we have to be very, very careful. We have to reckon with that deraisa. We need shisha with deraisa. We have the Xavier's derabbanan. Also that deraisa, we know it's a whole different world. So much of the end of this sugya of Yesh Begid and Emgid and Dam goes back and revolves around some of the things that we spoke about in the previous six. So all the sugyas end up becoming one taravis, one intermingling sugya in terms of what our approach is to a lot of these things that we're talking about.
Revi, we had like previously in the previous year, we had this sheet of Tosfos that said that when it came to this idea of Tam, it required either Tam or the Kvela.
Right.
So according to Tosfos, what would he do with this, you know, Achi Avadavar Ayesimiyatsma Miyuto?
Tosfos may never heard of this idea. According to Tosfos, this idea of Nevet Isim Yotze Miyuto is the Rambam's contribution to the Sugya. We don't find this in other Rishonim. According to the Rishonim, it's just Tam, it's just the game is over, either Yet Tam or Nish Tam. So Tosfos is probably indicative of what later became Shittas Arash, that they didn't go down this line, they never heard of this idea of Nevet Isim. The Rambam, I don't want to say made it up literally, but the Rambam interpreted the Psach HaDigmar Shishim through the eyes of Nevada Issa. Other Rishonim said, no, the Psach HaShishim is a plain, simple mathematical equation, Yetam Nishtam. This is a fundamental difference in terms of Rishonim, what's going on in terms of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So since we finished pretty much the longest part, the Halacha Maisa aspect of something we're talking about in terms of Tav Gikur and Gidonosha, and it's the last day of this month for us, the last day of the pre-Pesach man. Hopefully, it's a Shabbat on Pesach man as well. But just in terms of these sugyas of Yeridaya for a little while. So I thought that we would just spend just a couple of moments. So many of the ideas that we've been talking about in terms of lomdus, in terms of Pesach Halacha. So believe it or not, very, very much play out in terms of the celebration of Pesach. That many of the bits tayyom of Pesach. Oh, the terms are almost identical, although the meanings are slightly different in halacha. But I think it's important just to put things into perspective a little bit more in the sense of a machshav, a little bit to take some of the ideas we've been talking about and just give almost a little bit of a spin in terms of machshav and chizuk as we're about to end this man for us, at least the pre-Pesach man. So some of the terms that we've been using appear in Hilchos Pesach. The identical terms that appear, such as the term of bittul. We've been spending the last 8 months talking about bittul. We have bittul berov and bittul b'shishim. Things are bottle, not bottle. And of course, the term bittul is a major term in Hilchos Pesach. In a little bit more than 24 hours, so a lot of us are going to be doing our second bittul tonight. We're going to be doing our first bittul and our second bittul. Bittul chametz. Bittul chametz is such an ABC of Hilchos Pesach that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesach with Avdalid, the Hilchosa, the bittul b'yal masagi, that min haTorah, all you really have to do is bittul chametz. In a few hours from now, we're going to get on our hands and knees and rolling up our sleeves and try to do a proper B'dikas Chometz, trying to fulfill the mitzvah of Orel Arbos HaBikiris HaChometz Dohaner. But the Gemara says that's a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. I'm not minimizing that mitzvah. Kriyas HaBigil is also the Rabbanan. Neres Chanukah is also the Rabbanan. B'dikas Chometz of tonight is a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. Why is it the Rabbanan? Because with the Raisa, you don't have to do so much. With the Raisa, mitzvah be'al masagi. Just say kol chamira, tashbisa, finish. Get rid of your Chometz with dibur, through a machshava. Mitzvah be'al masagi. So yes, the Beit Hashem will hopefully perform our mitzvahs of bittul, mitzvah of bedikah. We're going to do everything. The raisas, the rabbanim, kedas uchadin. But bittul chometz is really the ABCs. That's really the mechanism that the halacha gives us to get rid of our chometz. So bittul is an important principle in Hilchos Pesach as well. The terms that we've been using so much of the, especially over the last couple of weeks and really throughout the entire year, the notion of tam, taste. Tam is critical for all three mitzvahs alayla, the three mitzvahs of Pesach night, the three major mitzvahs of Achila, all have connected to them the notion of significance of Tam. The Korban Pesach, Tam, the taste of the Korban Pesach is so significant that there's a halacha that after you eat the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat anything else for the duration of the night because you hate Tam a Pesach b'fiv. You're supposed to go to sleep Pesach night with the Eim Aftir Nachar Pesach HaFikomen. You're not allowed to eat dessert after the Korban Pesach because the Tam HaPesach is supposed to remain in your mouth until the next morning. The Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Pesachim that din of Eim Aftir Nachar HaPesach, that you're not supposed to eat after the Pesach, that applies Mizbanazet to the matzah, to the last matzah that we eat. The Rosh explains the reason why it's true. It's very simple, says the Rosh, that the whole mitzvah of Afikoman is a mitzvah of Zechel HaPesach. As Machlekes have shown him, we eat matzah really at three different parts of the Seder. One is Korech, not for now, but the two primary times of eating matzah Aben Motzi Matzah, and then at the end, Be'afikon Betzofa. So which is the real mitzvah of Be'arav Techel Matzahs? Which one are we trying to accomplish Be'arav Techel Matzahs? So the Rush explains to us that the Ika mitzvah is really the first kezayis. When you first eat that kezayis and you fulfill Be'arav Techel Matzahs, that's it, that's it. That's the mitzvah min haTorah. So what are we eating a kezayis later? Why does the Gemara say you have to eat matzah at the end of the meal? So the Rush writes, that was instituted with the Rabbanon as a zeichel Korban Pesach. Since the Korban Pesach was Bala Mikdash was eaten at the end of the meal for a variety of reasons. So therefore, we never couldn't have a Korban Pesach. So we eat a piece of matzah as a zeichel Korban Pesach. So the goal of the Afikoman is a zeichel Pesach, says the Rush. And therefore, just as by Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat anything afterwards because the tam has to be befiv. So to the tam, a matzah has to be befiv as well. Again, with the exception, obviously, the last two kosos you're allowed to drink, or very, very bland kind of drinks, such as water, maybe some other things, perhaps, you would be permitted to drink. But anything that detracts from the taste of the matzah, so that would be a violation of this din of shehei tam matzah, or in the old days, tam pesach befiv. So the Korban Pesach, clearly, the role of the tam, the Korban Pesach is definitely important. Matzah also, the Gemara says that there's a detail in terms of because matzah, when you bake your matzahs, if you subsequently cook the matzah, you take a piece of matzah and throw it into a pot of water, so it's no good. You take matzah meal, if you eat matzah meal plain, you could be yaitzeh matzah. If you turn it into a knedel, you're not yaitzeh. Why not yaitzeh? It's called matzah mevushelas. The Gemara says, but you don't have matzah. Because the time, the matzah has to taste like matzah. What does that mean? There are different opinions what that means precisely in halacha. But the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina explained, the name of the Rebbe, David Rabbeinu Yoina, what the Gemara means is that it's not just enough to have a cheftza of matzah, it has to be lechem oini. It has to be something that tastes like matzah. It has to be something that tastes like a poor man's bread. If you start to make this fancy, schmancy, razzle-dazzle recipe for knedelach, that's not how a poor person eats his matzah. Poor person never takes a piece of matzah, never eats the hard, core, flat, nothing to it, nothing fancy, nothing elaborate. That's lechem oini. If you start to tamper with the tam ha-matzah, you start to play around with the taste of the matzah, so you're going to lose that dimension of lechem oini. So matzah also, tam plays a key role. Maror, for sure, tam plays a key role. Because the Gemara says in Psachim that if a person takes a piece of maror and just swallows it whole and doesn't chew it up, doesn't discern the taste whatsoever, so that's a problem. But that's not by maror's chayayim. That it's critical when you eat the maror that you have to feel the maror, you have to taste the maror. It's got to make an impact on you. You have to physically taste it. Tam maror is a ma'akeh. There's a whole discussion about, our lettuces don't taste all that bitter. So how we eat it more, it's not really the taste of ours. So the answer is, we do taste the vegetable. We do taste the lettuce. It happens to be that our lettuces are not so bitter yet. They haven't been in the ground for very long. If they would stay in the ground for longer, they would get more bitter. So we technically are yaitzeh moro, even though we're not mamish sweating and tearing like the people who eat grains. They're really being tamed at the time of the grain. But for those who are just eating lettuce, so we also consider that to be a tam moro, even though it's not as marirus as maybe we would have expected. But definitely there has to be some degree of tam, there has to be some degree of a marirus there in order to fulfill the mitzvah properly of moro. So we find that the idea of tam plays a role for the Pesach, for the matzah, for the moro. The idea of bittul plays a role towards our bittul chometz. The question is, we have Baruch Hashem had this chus to spend so much time learning these sugyas of tam and bittul for the last 8 months or so. So what is this, what picture is emerging for us just in terms of hashkafa? We spent a lot of time in halach and lamdus. What is emerging for us in terms of hashkafa? So I think perhaps that a message we can walk away with is that, very often in life, things become bottle barov. That when a lot of other things are going on in our lives, so somehow the things that maybe we should be focusing on, they're there kind of, but we lose sight of them. The bottle barov, sometimes the bottle b'shishim, sometimes the bottle b'meya, b'ela, sometimes there's just a lot of other things going on. And the things that are really most important to us just somehow are not even nikkar. We can't see them, we can't taste them, we can't feel them. We almost sometimes forget that they're really there. They sometimes become nevad be'otzim miyuta. They're so insignificant. And our lives become so taken over by all the things that are not so important, that the Torah, the mitzvahs, the kedusha, the tahara, the chesed, the ava, the time for we spend with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the time we spend with our families, the time we spend on doing good, positive things, sometimes becomes lost in the shuffle of the many, many things that we end up getting involved in. Very, very often the things we're involved in are good things. We're not saying they're negative things. Sometimes they're very, very good things. But somehow, somewhere, the real eker somehow gets lost in the shuffle. The question is, what could protect that from happening? What could protect it, in a sense, from bittul taking place? So as we learned already so much in this sugya, in the last sugya, what could prevent bittul is tam. If you could taste it, if it has a good taste to it, or it has a discernible taste to it, then we could never close our eyes to it. We could never cancel. We could never ignore it. Tam says to me, I may not be there in terms of majority. I may be a mere 1/59th, but I'm still here. You can't ignore me. I think perhaps that's a good marshal, a good model we could use in terms of our ruchni, in terms of our Avedis Hashem as well. That sometimes in life we have a lot of other things that are going on, and very often they're very good and wholesome things. But the Torah, the mitzvahs, the davening, the chesed, the things that we're involved in, we have to hopefully make sure that there's a good time there. If there's a geschmack, if there's a tam, so it could be that in the hierarchy of our entire day, so 40 minutes of kol boker is not a rove of 24 hours. Seder, limud, and chulin 3 days a week is not a rove of our entire existence. But how do we make sure that it's not bottled berove? How do we make sure that it maintains its significance? How do we make sure that it becomes who we are, it defines who we are? If the tam is there, if it's a geshmaka there, if it's higher than Hashem located, if it's Rasha Befino, if a Torah mitzvah is something, she tam befiv, that even when we close the computers and we go back to whatever we're doing the rest of the day, and even when, you know, in the good old days, we'd finish the shiur at 7:05, we'd go run to daven, and then after daven, we'd go off to the office, go to work, but it's tam befiv, we still remember the limud, we remember the davening, remember our Shabbosos, remember Yom Tovim, that we make sure that the tam remains befiv, and we don't have to be worried about our Avodas Hashem being kol chamir v'chamia, bottle the hefka ki afri diara. The only way to maintain that our ruchnius doesn't become a dava hefker and bottle and not chashav, and something that's not nikar, is to keep the tam going. So as we, Baruch Hashem, come to an end in terms of this particular sugya, this particular limud right now, and Hashem, this limud we'll continue with this particular, with these sugyas again, Mitzvah Hashem, after Yontif, during Yontif, we have a schedule of a couple of other shiurim around. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll keep the tam going, and the tam of the limudator will remain, and the same will be true for the tam of the Yontif Pesach as well. That this Yontif Pesach is no question for everybody is going to be a different Yontif, and for many it's going to be a very, very difficult Yontif. And Avo Bichain, we can rise to the challenge, and we can take advantage of the beautiful, wonderful days of Pesach with all the difficulties and with all the strain and all the tension in the air. Avo Bichain, we could still make the most of these days and take the time of the Yontif of Pesach and have it go with us and keep with us for many, 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 many happy, happy, healthy years to go. So first and foremost, it'll keep us going until Shavuos, and it'll keep us going Pesh Shavuos. This will be this Man Chereseda that will set the stage for the entire Vedas Hashem of the year. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us a siyata d'shmaya to be tam, the tam ha-Torah, to tuv tam v'das, tam deni ki v'tzlechi hemanti, that the tam ha-Torah, the tam ha-Mitzvah should remain as a sweet tam, as a strong tam, it should remain throughout the year for ourselves, for our children, and hopefully we give a bracha to all of Klal Yisrael. So wish everybody a chekosh v'semech, Mirat Hashem, there'll be a future going on during the course of Chol HaMoed, so we'll keep you everybody posted in terms of the schedules, in terms of that. Okay, good. Okay.
Hi, Kashi. Hi, Kashi.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.